my beloved people, there are a couple of points that I would like to bring to your attention this morning. Of course, first of all, tomorrow is the beautiful feast of the maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mother, of Blessed Virgin Mary, and is a very special day in truth, and therefore I think all of us should address ourselves to her on this occasion and ask of her all the things that we need. The Feast of Christ the King is on the way, and of course, as you know, it is the patronal feast of our church, of our monastery, and is for us a very special day. On that day, we will have First Holy Communion, and also there have been a number of people who have asked to be enrolled or re-enrolled in the Brown Scapular. Of course, please be mindful of this, that if you have been enrolled in the Brown Scapular before, you are always enrolled. And all that it takes is just simply getting a new one when the old one wears out. But if you have not been enrolled in the Brown Scapular, then of course approach the altar rail and I will be very happy to enroll you in such. October, I remind you, is the month of the Holy Rosary. I think that it would be safe to say that if ever we have wanted to or needed to make use of the Holy Rosary, it is in these days. Therefore, I encourage you in every way possible to make use of this devotion this month. If you are not accustomed to saying the Rosary every day, then I certainly encourage you, especially during these days of this month, to do so. The All Souls Day envelopes are in the back of the church in the vestibule. Be sure and pick them up. And be sure that we have them before All Souls Day so that they can be put on the altar, where they will remain throughout the year right next to the tabernacle in memory of those that are near and dear to you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today's gospel is a simple one, but it has for us, some very powerful implications. Implications that we need to pay close attention to. Of course, we know the story. It was a royal official. As far as the Jews were concerned, he was a stranger. He was an outsider. He was not one of the chosen ones. He was not of the chosen race. He was a Gentile. He was a Roman. Everything about him was not at all desirable. And this man approached the master, whom they wanted to believe but didn't. Really, I shouldn't have said they wanted to believe, because if they had wanted to believe, they would have believed our Lord, but they didn't. They didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize his message. And when the man approached him and asked him to cure his son, he did so. And now comes the point that we today, all of us, are so much in need of hearing. And not only are we so much in need of hearing, but that we are actually, if I may use the word, demanding. We are, every one of us, looking for a sign. It isn't good enough for us to approach. It is now we have come to the point where we are actually looking for something to happen. As a matter of fact, I think there are those of us who are actually praying that something will happen so that we won't be disappointed. Only recently I have heard, and I pass this on to you, maybe it's ridiculous. If it is ridiculous, then it's ridiculous. But at any rate, this person was absolutely, positively, with beyond the shadow of a doubt, it cannot be questioned, it will happen, therefore get ready for it, that between the days of the 19th of January to the 31st of January in the year 2000, it will happen. This has been said over and over and over and over again. The royal official that approached our Lord simply went up to him and said, "My son is sick unto death. Do something." And our Lord said, "I will." And that was all the discussion. And the man departed because he believed. And his son was cured. Now, our Lord doesn't stop halfway. He goes all the way. And he takes everybody into consideration. And he comprehends the anxieties. And he comprehends the worries. And he comprehends the fears and the needs and the rest. And elsewhere, our blessed Lord is found to say, "He that knocks once and quits . And you have heard me say here from this little pulpit that we must be importunate in our prayer. And we quote St. Bernard, who said, actually, we must bother God with our prayer. Our prayer must be constant as we pray to God and as we ask God. It must be a continuous thing that God will hear our prayer. And the disposition of our soul must be such that God will hear our prayer. Over and over again in our bulletins, you read the expression, Catholic experience. And you read the expression, you find the expression also, the interior life. The more I go into things, and the more people that I talk to, whether they be priests, whether they be non-priests, whether they be religious or whether they be laity, I'm about to make a shocking observation, but I fear that it is an absolutely true observation. Not because of my great ability to look into things, but because of the very open, clear-cut expressions that come from people when you ask them questions. It is my concern, and it is my fear, and it is my observation that for a great number of people, perhaps I might even say a greater number of people and priests alike, that they simply do not understand the interior life. They do not know what the interior life is. They think that the Catholic experience is merely a church-going thing, a rosary saying thing, a life that is completely wrapped up in prayers, all kinds of prayers, prayers to everybody, prayers to everything, prayers for everything, prayers guaranteed to guarantee the guarantee. This is not the interior life. And we might think in terms of the centurion or the Roman official today who might have had a grasp of the interior life, because when he said, "My son lives," and when he was told he will live, he left because he believed. That was it. That was an interior work. And because of his interior activity, the man obtained what he was looking for. It is not enough that we present to God exterior observation, which today, unfortunately, and from pulpits, is being constantly, constantly, constantly pushed. And as a consequence, everybody has got some kind of a cause that they are sponsoring. And everybody is pushing this, and pushing that, and pushing the other thing, because this is the Word of God, this is protecting the Word of God, this is the way God wants it done, this is what I've been sent here for, etc., and all the rest. We have no cause except the Mass. And none of these other causes, regardless of what they may be sponsoring, will not necessarily probably unnecessarily sponsor or help us in achieving the salvation of our immortal souls. The only thing that will save my immortal soul is what my personal, individual attitude is toward God Himself. And as a consequence, people are unrestful. And the untheologians, I underline the word untheologians. Today, you know, if a man says, I am this or I am that, that automatically gives him some kind of priority and makes of him some kind of a finished product. And we see them every place. We go from one to the other, each one saying this, saying that, saying this, saying that. And there we are, like a ball on a soccer field, being kicked from one belief to another belief, from one belief to another belief. And anybody on the field kicks. And anybody on the field takes that ball and kicks it around to the next man for it to be kicked. And that's what's happening to our faith. We do not know what to believe. We are not willing to settle down to a definite belief. I believe. And that should be enough. The Roman official did not go from one to the other as such, and ask, well, who is this man? What credentials does he have? Will somebody show me his certificate to preach for this, that, and the other, you know? I realize that today we have many frauds about, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. And with the computer being as it is, we can today duplicate documents and make them look so authentic that they're better looking than the authentic ones. And we pass them around. And that gives us authenticity. I know this. But if you keep your mouths shut and pay close attention to what is being said to you, you will be quite capable of determining truth from error. Because truth is easy to comprehend. Like a child. A child comprehends a lot quicker than we do. We lose something as we grow older. We lose a lot as we grow older. But you can determine truth from error, because the man who speaks error is constantly turning around to cover up his footsteps. If you pay close attention, you will see him do just that. And the minute you see him being concerned about his footsteps, which he has left behind him, turn away. The man who speaks the truth has nothing to fear. And that's the man you must always pay attention to. Leave others alone. So we're living, we're getting closer and closer to whatever deadline, I have no idea what kind of deadline we're talking about. Everybody's talking deadline this and deadline that. I don't know whether the moon's going to explode or whether the stars are going to all run into each other or what. I have no earthly idea of what's going to take place. But that something is going to happen, I think that we can safely assume that it will. But the main thing that we have to keep in mind is this. As long as I, individually and personally, am prepared, as long as I, individually and personally, am in the state of grace, but come what may, all will be well. That's all that matters, my beloved people. And so I encourage you to do this. This is the best preparation. This is the only preparation. And then whatever else happens, let it happen. And there will be joy in our hearts. And there will be peace in our hearts. And as the man, just as the man this morning, while he was on his way home, and they met him, and they told him that all was well, so will we be met by some messenger of God, and we will be told all is well. And after all, what is it that I seek that needs to be told me that all is well? Is it my fortune? Is it that my fortune is protected? Is it that my property is protected? Is it that my power is protected? Not at all. The only thing that is important is for me to know that I and my God are protected. Nothing else matters. And this is what we must strive for. This is what we must pray for. This is what we must work for. I and my God. If others near and around me do not feel that way, that's unfortunate. But in the last analysis, in the last bottom line of things, an expression that we use today, the bottom line says this, or asks this. Are you in contact with your God? That's all that matters. And if we can say yes to that, then we can start on our way home and be at peace. My beloved people.